guys. Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. And you know me, I'm your gracious host. My name is Tariq. Glad to have everybody tuning in live on this beautiful day, broadcasting live out here from Los Angeles. We're letting everybody get on up in this room, and we're going to chop up some good game today, as we always do. But what we're going to do now, family, we're going to take that real quick commercial break. And while we're doing the commercial break, I need everybody to first, if you're looking at us on YouTube, hit the subscribe button and hit that like button right now so we can get this party started right. And we'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
What's up, family? We are finally beginning to get on code for justice and economic empowerment, and now we gotta make our empowerment a lifestyle. So I introduce to you On Code Clothing. On Code Clothing is our thing, all black, everything, and fly. But make no mistake, this gear is exclusive and it's not for everyone. You gotta be grassroots aligned and in the know to truly appreciate this lifestyle brand. So check us out now at OnCodeClothing.com. Sign up and save 10% and enjoy free shipping on most orders. Again, that's OnCodeClothing.com. Would you like to make six figures or more providing court-mandated classes like anger management, DUI, or shoplifting prevention? If so, go to courtmandatedtraining.com and sign up for the free webinar that will help you get started, even if you have no experience. So if you want to get that bag, if you want to get some money and do it the right way, go to courtmandatedtraining.com to learn more. Again, that's courtmandatedtraining.com. Hey, if you have less than perfect credit and you want to get your credit cleaned up so you can ball out, you need to holler at my dude, Paul Levy. He can help you get results by cleaning up your credit within 45 to 90 days. They help out with such items as late payments, bankruptcy, medical bills, student loans, collection, and identity theft. So you need to get in touch with Paul today. Text HELP at 443-764-5798. That's 443-764-5798. Yo, cupcake season is right around the corner, family, and you need to get your fragrance game all up in order. So you need to check out ashkicking.com. That's a black-owned business that sells all-natural health and beauty products, and it also has fragrance products. You can get beauty products such as body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, unique incense burners, incense sticks, scented candles, and so much more. So again, you need to check out ashkicking, that's K-I-C-K-I-N, .com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail? Or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I said, whoever. Your mom's a hoe.
Yo, we're back. What's going on, guys? Welcome to Tariq Radio. Ready to chop up game as we always do. Glad to have y'all tuning in. I hope you guys have had a great week. Letting everybody pile up on in the room. There is a lot of stuff that we're going to cover on today's broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, before I get into that, do y'all remember, I think it was last week where there was a white supremacist woman out there in Connecticut, I think New Haven, she was in a grocery store racially berating a black family, just going off, calling them nigga, and they got her on camera. She's like, oh, I don't care, nigga, nigga, and she's just going off. Her name is Corinne something. I can't think of her last name. But she worked at a school out there. I think she got fired from the school district. And this week, her house got broken into. Somebody broke in her house and stole all the copper out of her house. So, you know, this woman is, you know, the karma is hitting her very heavy. I can't think of her name, but, you know, I got to put on a little something. Somebody broke in her house and, you know, the karma is coming through. So you know what that means. Oh,
we need celebration.
Oh, won't he do it? Won't Ogun do it?
We need celebration.
Come on now.
Celebrate good times. Come on.
This is the white version of a classic. Come on, white folks.
Celebrate.
Put a little mayonnaise on it.
Times. Come on.
There you go. All right. There you go. All right, so that's what's up with her. All right. But I digress. But won't he do it? Won't he do it? Anyway, man, today's show, today's broadcast, we're talking about vigilante fantasies. We're talking about vigilante fantasies. We're going to break down what that means a little bit. Now, with the buck-breaking documentary, we just launched that on Kickstarter. We launched it today. If you look at the link below in the chat room, not the chat room, but in the profile section, if you look at the link, we launched the Kickstarter this morning. We're almost at $5,000 already. The goal is $75,000 minimum. We put it on Kickstarter. We're doing great so far. We're coming out the gate heavy. Now, I wasn't going to do the film. I had a lot of apprehensions about doing the film. I wanted to kind of measure and take a poll to see if people will really be down with this film, buck breaking it. And we're really going in on the racism of the white LGBT community. That's what we're really doing with this film. We're going into the history of it. And I had a lot of apprehensions about doing it. Half the people wanted me to do it. Some were like, oh, no, man, this is too risky. Because we're going after a group of people, man, who nobody's never really gone after them before. Nobody's really put them on Front Street before. So we're getting into some dangerous water here. And folks who do even hint at going at them, stuff happens to them. We just got to keep it 100. And I was going to wait to do it. I was going to wait a few years. Because I'm like, okay, I don't want to bring unnecessary heat on myself. But the thing is, a few things made me want to do it. A few things changed my decision. Because again, I had plans just to not do it because we got Hidden Colors 5 coming out this summer. And usually, you know, I didn't want to do Hidden Colors 5 and then take a long break like I usually do. When I do a film, I take a few years off. But I wanted to kind of keep the momentum going. So I wasn't going to do it, but this week a few things happened that made me change my mind and say, okay, we need to go forward with this. Number one, you know, there was some big thing with Apple. There was some kind of big deal with them. And, you know, Steven Spielberg and all these people were trending. They were all connected with this thing. And somehow Oprah got some kind of deal with all of these people where they didn't give her some kind of blank check to do some documentaries on her own. And she's already talking about doing some documentaries about sexual harassment. And I'm like, uh-oh. Y'all know where that's going. We already know where that's going. So that raised my antenna. They gave Oprah, they're giving her a blank check to do documentaries, and you know it's about to be attack the black man. She ain't about to go after white daddy. I'm telling you that now. Let's be very clear. She ain't going after white daddy. Oprah knows where her bread is buttered. Last time she even hinted at going after white daddy, they went after her. Remember years ago when Oprah said one line and all them white supremacist males went after Oprah. Oprah said, I'm never eating beef again. And the whole white beef industry got on code against Oprah. That's why she had to go get Dr. Phil and all these people. So she knows not to go after white daddy. Where you think she's going to use that money, all that money they're giving her? Where you think she's going to do her targeting? So that's one thing. I'm like, uh-oh. So we got to be ready for that, number one. Another thing, there was a sister who was missing. There was a sister who was missing for like a month. There's a black woman up there in Ohio. She's an activist for a lot of these white women's groups. And again, many of these white women's groups are really LGBT. That's the white LGBT community funding this. And the sisters is a black girl named Amber Evans. And she's been running around with these white women's organizations, being the black front person. You know, they love to get black people to put them out there in the front while the white women in the back collect all the money. And, you know, they let the sisters attack the brothers. And I don't think this sister Amber was particularly attacking brothers, but you know, you got the Tarana Burks and all these people who they put on as the front people to do all the attacking to hide the racism of the people in the back. And that was another reason why, again, we're getting this documentary going to expose that game. So this sister has been missing for a month. Last month I said, hey, her boyfriend, y'all not going to ask no questions about this boyfriend, because her boyfriend is white, or was white. So they finally found this sister's body in the river where her car was parked. They waited a month to go find this sister's body because they knew what was up, and they sat up there and let the body decompose for a month, so it's almost impossible to get any kind of any clues from her body at this point. And this week, the reaction from all of these fake-ass women's groups to this sister's death, they're going out of their way to avoid the obvious. I've seen all these white women's groups say, oh, we send out our condolences to Amber. All the women's march, prayers for her family. We're so saddened by the loss of our beloved friend Amber. They're talking in all of this old, we give our condolences term, but one thing I noticed, none of them are saying what happened to this woman. None of them are asking, are we going to get to the bottom of what happened to this woman? None of them are asking this, and this is very deliberate. Now, these are all these white women's groups, white LGBT groups. They know if she had a black boyfriend and she was missing, they'd be like, okay, where is he? What happened? How did she die? They would be asking questions on how she died. Nobody's doing that, because the minute you ask how she died, that means you're going to have to start investigating. And the first person you investigate is their significant other. And because she had a zaddy, all of these white women's groups are protecting the zaddy by not focusing on him. They know good and well in any kind of case like this. And also, she was arguing with her white boyfriend before she got missing. Go look all this stuff up. All the early reports show that her and her boyfriend were arguing with each other. Then all of a sudden she disappears and nobody's asking the white boyfriend nothing. So all these white women's groups, who this woman worked for, all these white women's groups, they make their bones on targeting men, black men in particular, and talking about domestic violence, and this is how they get all their money. Now this sister ends up dead, and nobody's talking about violence, nobody's talking about investigating, nothing. This is why, sisters, y'all need to stay away from these groups. They'll let you hang. Don't you, y'all mess with these groups? Y'all don't know how dangerous these people are. And when you are an activist with these white groups, see, that's the thing. If you're going to be an activist, you better be with some grassroots folks. Y'all better stop being activists for these white-run organizations. They'll set you up to get killed out here. There's so many black activists turning up dead out here, and nobody's asking anything about why this sister ended up in the bottom of a damn river. Because they know what's up. So that was another reason to make me want to go in and do this thing, so we can expose these fake-ass organizations and how dangerous they are, and show you the racism from the white LGBT community. A lot of people are scared to talk about that, especially in the Hollywood industry, because these are the people who control the industry. These people are the ones who will blacklist you from the industry if you rub them the wrong way. Notice that anytime a black comedian tells a so-called homophobic joke, all of a sudden these people rise up out of nowhere and start making them bow down. So we got to stop being so weak to these people and start calling them out. We got to start standing up, family. This is why we got to do documentaries like this. We got to be proactive in getting people off our asses. These people ignore racism, ignore white supremacy, and claim to be allies to us, and don't do anything when we get harmed, don't do anything when sisters are found in the river, don't do anything when these white supremacist vigilantes are out here beating up sisters like the one down there in Texas. Beat this sister on video and they charged him with a misdemeanor, and a lot of us were going after the police out there, and they finally charged the guy with a felony today. We got to understand what's happening out here, get on code, and we got to make proactive strikes against these folks to get them up off of us. So that was another reason that made me want to go forward with this documentary, because there was another white woman I was going back and forth with on Twitter. She worked with one of these white women's quote-unquote LGBT, quote-unquote women's justice organizations. And she was like, well, this has nothing to do with race, Tariq. We're just trying to take time to grieve. What the hell you mean take time to grieve? If you find somebody dead, you're supposed to immediately find out what happened to them. You ain't supposed to sit around and take time out. The longer you wait, the less likely you are to solve the crime. Well, we're just trying to really get to know. We want people to get to know who she was. I mean, they were making up all of these jive ass excuses on why they're ignoring her boyfriend and they're ignoring an investigation. So again, this shows the slick, subtle contempt that these people have for you and us. And another thing that made me want to do it was the autopsy report came back in one of the victims of Ed Buck, and it showed that this guy died of a methamphetamine overdose. So he was again drugged, another person who was drugged at Ed Buck's house. This came out this week. So it's basically, this is a homicide. They were trying to make it seem like the person was already sick or whatever, and they just happened to go over there and die. Like it's a coincidence that people are going to Ed Buck's house and dying. So Ed Buck, this looks like another homicide at Ed Buck's house. This came out this week, but they're not doing nothing to Ed Buck. The media is still silent on Ed Buck. And this is really the reason why I wanted to go forward with this documentary, is because it's going to have to be up to us. We are the new media. We're going to have to be the ones putting these people out there on Front Street, getting their names out there so that they don't fade away after time. We're going to have to start putting these folks out there and making them pariahs and using our resources and our numbers to do it. And we're just going to have to stop being scared. The brothers in there at Ed Buck's house getting buck broken, all the stuff he had them brothers doing, and Ed Buck was calling them his little nigger boys and all that. So he's a suspected white supremacist. So the same buck breaking that went on during slavery is going on right here today. And we're going to break down the history of that, because we got to save lives out here. We need to know who we're dealing with. And what happens is we get confused because you have the overt white supremacists and then you have the subtle white supremacists who act like allies, and that's the white LGBT community. For some reason, black folks think that they talk a little nice to us, give us a couple of little dollars on a personal, and we think we have allies, and we don't understand how deadly these people are. There are too many black folks hanging around with their liberal white friends, and then black folks end up missing. Have y'all noticed all of the cases of black folks hanging around with their white buddies and they're ending up missing? The sister down there in Forsyth County, Georgia, she was hanging out with her white friends. She ended up dead. Nobody got arrested. And these people who are acting like they are your allies, these are the people who are getting into all these civil rights bills and civil rights laws that are supposed to protect us. They're using it to protect them. And these are the people we need protection from. This is something that's going to have to be broken all the way down so we can damn get it. We got to break this stuff. We got to break it down so that our community can understand what's going on out here. We got to understand that there is a genocide. There's a hardcore genocide and a soft genocide, and these people are participating in it. But the thing is, we're going to have to start putting these folks' names out there. And when you put folks' names out there in film, that stays out there forever. You don't let them fade away. That's the problem. We let a lot of people practice white supremacy against us, and nobody puts them out there. We wait on the white media to do it, and they don't do it. They're helping these people. And then we end up with a situation like Carol Bryant. That's the woman who got Emmett Till killed. So this woman is out here just living her life 60 years after the fact. The white media, they don't mention this woman's name. She's out here living her damn best life in a trail of dead bodies. The civil rights movement started because of her lying on Emmett Till, getting Emmett Till killed, and that's when the civil rights movement really officially started. And all these dead people, Medgar Evers, Emmett Till, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, all these great people dead, and Carol Bryant is still running around here chilling, being protected. Her family is all in politics. I think, ain't her relative the governor or the mayor out there? So again, while I'm talking, guys, y'all need to hit that Kickstarter link right under the video. See, we got to get serious. And we got to keep people's names out there. Because people do stuff, and the white media will protect them, and we don't have a black media apparatus to keep their names out there, so they just kind of fade away. How many of y'all heard of Bernard Goetz? Let me see how many of you guys remember Bernard Goetz. You have to be a little older to remember the name Bernard Goetz from the 80s. Now, most of my young folks, I bet many of you haven't even heard that name. I bet many of my young people have not even heard that name. But some of my old heads, old school players, y'all remember Bernard Goetz. You guys remember Bernard Goetz from the 80s. Bernard Goetz was one of these suspected white supremacist vigilantes in the 80s who went out deliberately looking for some black people to attack. And he got on the subway and they said that some black dudes tried to rob him. I don't know how true that was, but it seemed like, from what I understand, he was deliberately going out to kill some people. He wanted to kill some black people. And he shot some people, and that was a real big case in New York. A lot of New Yorkers, the white supremacist New Yorkers, were backing him up because he went and he lived out the vigilante fantasy that a lot of white supremacists have. A lot of the dominant white society has, too. Yeah, he shot four black people on the train, and he got a lot of support from white society. And that case was big in the 80s because that was one of the first times that vigilante thing happened in real life, because the vigilante fantasy started in the 70s. See, a lot of people in the dominant white society, they have these fantasies about going out, being able to kill black people with impunity. And they used to do mob killings with the lynchings all up and down through the Jim Crow era. But after the 1960s, you couldn't openly do that no more. You couldn't have open lynchings. One reason, because, you know, in the 60s, black people said, look, we ain't taking this no more. So black folks start bucking back. So black people were the ones who forced the laws to be changed. Let's be very clear. People in the dominant white society didn't find it upon themselves or take it upon themselves to say, hey, look, we need to stop what we're doing and harming these people. No, black people start bucking back at cops. And when black folks start bucking back at cops, that means everybody else is fair game. So they had to create laws, the civil rights laws, so you couldn't practice open racism like that no more. Also, in the 60s, you had Vietnam. The U.S. lost to the Vietnam War, so there was a lot of low morale. Then all these laws coming through, they had to pass civil rights, equal rights. So the white supremacists around the country, they felt that they were losing. Remember, anything equal to them means loss to them. When black people are equal, that means they're taking a loss, because the white supremacists, they are insecure as individuals and they cannot compete on an individual basis. They have to have a systematic, unfair leg up to have them compete. They cannot do it on an equal level. So the fact that black folks on paper, because we still didn't have the resources we needed, but on paper, we could have quote-unquote equal housing. On paper. Equal this, equal that. On paper. It was still on paper. They felt very insecure. So, starting in the 70s, there were a lot of these vigilante movies. There was a vigilante genre of movies that came out that reflected this fantasy mindset that white supremacists had all around the country, the everyday white supremacists. I'm not talking about the Klan and the skinheads. I'm talking about the everyday librarian, teacher, doctor, lawyer, the everyday working man white supremacist, working woman white supremacist. So you had movies like Dirty Harry with Clint Eastwood, going out taking vigilante justice and usually targeting non-white people. That Dirty Harry thing was real big in the 70s. And you had Charles Bronson with the Death Wish movies. That was real big. He would go out in the urban areas in the middle of the night and take white revenge on the non-white people. Then there was a movie, The Taxi Driver, with Robert De Niro. He was another one of these dudes who was this urban vigilante. So this was a big genre. This was a thing with them. This desire to go out here and take revenge in urban areas and really attack black folks, quote unquote, criminals. Because blackness and criminal, they've made that synonymous. And another thing, if you look at the movie posters and if you look at these movies, they would always have these guns with these extremely long barrels that looked like a phallic symbol. These black guns, that was their, as Dr. Welsing would say, their black penis. That was their black penis. These barrels of their guns would always be extremely long and exaggerated. So that genre carried on up into the 80s and 90s. You had the movie Falling Down with Michael Douglas. He's going around L.A. killing the non-white people. He's a working class dude. He finally got fed up and started killing. A lot of white people, they gravitated towards that movie. And now recently, Liam Neeson, when he was talking about how he wanted to go out and kill some black people after his friend said she got raped, he was dog whistling. That's why he didn't get in trouble. That man didn't get in trouble. They planned on him to say that. They knew what he was saying and they knew when he was going to say it. He was dog whistling about that fantasy that a lot of people in the dominant white society have. They have this vigilante fantasy where they want to all be able to be deputized so they can go around beating, harming, and killing black people with impunity. This is why all these people gravitated towards Zimmerman and protected him. They're protecting these people. And again, down there in Texas, this random white supremacist just beat this sister up on camera, and they gave him a slap on the wrist. They just now gave him a felony today for having that gun. He pulled a gun on her. So they're going to come up with ways to try to get him out. And also down in Texas, there was a case where a black man, Kevin Battle, there was a white supremacist who lived next door to him, and they lived in a duplex, so their doors are like damn near connected. And this white supremacist neighbor, because I've talked to the family reached out to me, and they told me this neighbor, the white neighbor, has a history of running the black people out of certain apartments. He has a history of targeting and harassing the black neighbors. And Mr. Battle, Kevin Battle, had a few altercations with this white neighbor. The white neighbor came to Mr. Battle's house one day, knocking on the door saying, "Nigger, turn your music down." So Mr. Battle, Kevin, beat the white man up. They got into a fight, so Kevin gave him a black eye. Kevin put the brakes, put them fangs on him, beat the brakes off of him. This was on March 20th. And this week, there was a family barbecue. There were some family members over at Kevin's house, and there was a little boy, Kevin's grandson, who's like 5 years old. He said that the white next door neighbor said something to him. So Kevin went to the neighbor's door to see what he said to his grandson, and then the white neighbor came out and just shot him. Shot Kevin Battle in the head twice and killed him in front of his five-year-old grandson. And the white supremacist was not arrested. They did not arrest him. And the white media and white law enforcement, they are protecting that neighbor. They would not even release his name. They still haven't released his name. I am the only person who released his name because the neighbors didn't even know his name. They only knew his first name and they didn't know his last name. But I put all the pieces together and I put his name out there. I was the one who put the dude's name out there. You dig? And for those who don't know, the guy's name is Mark W. Jabin. J-A-B-B-E-N. Mark W. Jabin. I put his name and picture out there. I was the only one in media to do that. His name is Mark W. Jabin. That's the dude who killed that brother on some vigilante shit. Yes. I talked to the family. I'm like, give me all the information you have. They didn't know his last name, and I found all that for them. See, this is how we got to be. We got to be proactive. The white media, they're protecting white supremacists. They're protecting them. They have deputized them. They have created a vigilante contingency among white society, and a lot of us are in danger, so we got to be in a position to put these people out there on Front Street. We got to start getting these weasels out of the darkness and exposing who they are. This is us getting on code. We got to get busy. We got to get busy, guys. And again, while I'm talking, y'all hit that link below for Kickstarter. If you're listening on iTunes right now, go to Kickstarter and type in Buck Breaking so that you can contribute to the film. The trailer, this is just the first look trailer. It's amazing. People love it. I got Dr. Welsing's voice on there. And remember, I have a lot of footage of Dr. Welsing that has never been heard. I've interviewed Dr. Welsing several times. There's a lot of footage that I have of her that has never been heard, and that's what I used for the trailer. You understand? But we got to understand, look how they are promoting vigilantism And also down in Alabama, another elderly black man, his neighbor jumped on him, a white neighbor, beat him up. The white neighbor was not charged at all either. They haven't even justified not charging the neighbor. So a lot of black folks are getting attacked out here. They're attacking women. They're attacking the elderly. They're doing ambush attacks. When you knock on somebody's door and then they open the door and shoot you, that's an ambush. That Mark Jabin dude basically baited the brother by harassing his children and grandchildren, knowing that the brother's going to come over there. And also the brother, Mr. Battle, filed a police report against this Jabin guy, and nothing came of it. See, we got to be ready, guys. Family, we got to be ready at all times. We can't wait until the last minute. We got to be ready for any altercation that happens, and we got to be ready to protect ourselves. We have a government that has neglected us, and we have a God-given right to protect ourselves. You better understand that. And if you're going to go out, you better go out protecting yourself and protecting your family. And ashe to Kevin Battle, because he went out protecting his grandson. I got the utmost respect for that brother. He went out protecting his grandchildren. And if you go out in a system of white supremacy, that's the way you go out. I wish he could have took the white supremacists with him, but this brother went out protecting his grandson. But while they're trying to promote vigilantism in white society, they try to tell black folks, especially these white LGBT organizations, remember, they're the ones promoting this thing about black men protecting themselves as toxic masculinity. You see how they do? See, this is how they work on the inside. While the white extremists are out here openly killing us, you got these fake ass allies in the white LGBT community sitting around us acting like they're our friends, telling us that being a man, defending yourself and standing up for your family is being a toxic masculinity man. This is why you reject that garbage that they're giving us. See, they're trying to buck break all of us. That's buck breaking, telling you that you should not be a man to protect yourself. See, that's them trying to destroy the warrior class of a society. They do not tell white men to not be masculine. They don't tell them that. This is why it took them so long to get to this point. They've been wanting to get to this point with the vigilantism for a long time. They've been wanting to get to this point. The problem was that vigilante thing only worked in movies in the 70s. In the 70s, you could not go up in a black neighborhood with that vigilante garbage in real life. They would have your head. Brothers back then were 100% with the shits. You couldn't do that in the 70s. You couldn't do it in the 80s. That's why there was such an outcry in New York when they pulled that in New York. No, the tensions were real high. And they tried to do some stuff like that out here in LA, and we saw what turned out with that. When they shot Natasha Harlings out there, the Koreans shot that kid, and the tensions were high, and black folks said, okay, then we need to go ahead and get it popping after the Rodney King verdict. So they knew that they couldn't pull that type of stuff again. So they had to wait a generation. They had to wait to do it. They had to wait another 20 something years to do it. So now that they've seen the warrior class in black society has been almost neutralized, because what they've done, these white supremacist LGBT groups, they're the ones pushing all of that. You need to be more sensitive. Black men you need to put on some skinny jeans and some dresses. Black men need to wear thongs. It's okay to spread them butt cheeks. It's okay to be moist. It's them promoting that. They're the ones who are promoting that. So now that a lot of the warrior class out here in skinny jeans, now they can come on through and just neutralize as many people as possible. And the reason why they're doing it, all these vigilantes attacking black folks, notice there has not been any type of real retribution. That's why they feel like they have the green light to do it. There hasn't been any kind of real retribution from black society. You dig? So this is why we got to be on point. We have to know who we're dealing with and who we're around. And when you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. And while these politicians are out here trying to campaign, everything they're saying to us should go in one ear and out the other. If they're not talking about cash payments to us, I don't want to hear nothing. Right now, not only do we have the police who have a green light to do whatever to us, they've deputized regular vigilantes to do the same. The last damn thing I want to hear about is a new Green Deal. I don't give a damn about no Green Deal. And black folks are getting slaughtered out here by race soldiers and vigilantes. The only way to correct that is through cash payments so that we can get our money game up, because we're being targeted because we are in poor, disenfranchised areas. We are in poor situations. We cannot afford protection. We cannot afford the political connections. And they're targeting us because we are weak economically. And if you're weak economically, you're weak everywhere else. So that's why we need the bag. Seriously. The last thing we need to be caping for is immigration. When people come around us talking about immigration, I've seen several videos of these Hispanic immigrants working for law enforcement brutalizing black folks. I don't know why we kept falling for that trick bag. And all these LGBT rights, which is the right to do whatever they want to do to us. These are the same people who are harming us, and they're riding our backs and we're letting them. We got to get these people off our backs and make these politicians break bread. So when you see all these people having these town hall meetings, all these fake Democrats, we don't need them. If they're not talking about giving us the bag, we don't need to hear nothing. Beto O'Rourke, I've heard he said he ain't with the reparations, or if he's talking about reparations, he's talking about reparations for everybody. Beto gots to go. They had some little town hall meeting thing on BET. Didn't watch it. I'm not watching nothing they have to say because it ain't about reparations. That's all I'm trying to hear. I want the bag. I want the gold. I don't want to hear what Baloney Sanders has to say. Alexandria, a con artist, I don't want to hear what she has to say. Kamami Harris, I don't care about what she has to say. Corey Booty, I don't care about what Corey Booty has to say at all. If y'all not talking about the bag and cutting them checks and breaking bread and allocating money, cash payments to black Americans, then I don't want to hear it. And I see a lot of these other non-white and non-black people writing these articles for these so-called liberal publications. I keep seeing these articles written by a lot of these East Indian cats. They're trying to chime in talking about what we shouldn't get and how reparations to black folks, it's impossible. It's not impossible. Well, how would it be done? Everybody wants to act confused. Who would get it? How would it be done? Stop acting dumb. These people are not dumb at all. It's not hard. This ain't rocket science. Don't let people run this game on you about how will it be done. You know damn well how it will be done. Well, what about black people from other countries? You know they won't get it. All we have to do is just trace our lineage back to slavery. That's not hard to do. And if you cannot trace it back to a specific plantation, at least trace it back to when they start doing the census for black Americans, which is around 1870. Because there really wasn't too much immigration for black people back then. But if you can trace your lineage back to the 1870s when they started doing the census for black people, then you should be able to get your cash payments, because 9 times out of 10, that means your family were enslaved black people. And also on the census, they would document pretty much the occupation or the trade that the person engaged in, which was farm laborer. That's what they would call it in 1870, because slavery was over in 1870. So a lot of times on the census, they would write down farm laborer. So we can trace our families. It's very easy. It's easier than Native Americans. See, they can allocate resources to Native Americans. And how do you, it's way difficult to trace your lineage back to a Native American tribe, because they didn't really start documenting a lot of stuff until the Dawes Rolls back in the early 1900s. And that's when a lot of the white supremacists were paying $5 to get on the roll. That's where we get the $5 Indian terms. So it's easier for black people to trace their lineage back, because again, we weren't sovereign like a lot of the Native Americans. A lot of them were sovereign, so they didn't have any paperwork like that. But at least we can trace ourselves back to that first census. And then if we can get more documents, we can trace back to certain plantations. You dig? Yeah, they had to pay taxes on slaves. Yeah. So it's not that hard to trace. They're acting dumb when it comes to us getting our money. And we got to stay on that. We got to stay on that, family. And again, let's not let people hijack the conversation. I just saw somewhere Al Sharpton is talking about he's taking credit for all this black talk that's happening in politics. Al, if you and your perm don't sit down. No, you're not, Al. You're not responsible for this talk at all. None of the Boule folks are responsible for this. They want to come in and swoop in and act like they're the ones who are keeping this conversation on the forefront. And we all know you're not. Your job was to not keep this conversation going to the forefront. Now that it's there, they're trying to run behind it and then try to run up in front of it and act like they were doing it. It's that same thing Roland does. He goes out of his way to be the gatekeeper for white supremacy, and then when it gets out of control, he likes to act like he was down with the black cause all along. Remember when remember when we had a meeting at Applebee's with Hillary Clinton? But I was there. You know, it's that type of bullshit. They love doing that. They love trying to take credit for some shit they ain't have nothing to do with. So, Al, you need to stop, brother. Let's chill, Al. Another thing we got to watch out for in New York, I think it's Rockland County, New York. They have something where they were talking about there's a measles outbreak, and they're making it mandatory for everybody in Rockland County to get that MMR vaccine shot. And they're making it a misdemeanor if anybody under 18 does not have it and you go out in public. They're saying you can't go out in public unless you have the MMR shot. And if you get caught or your kids get caught outside without the shot, I don't know how long this is supposed to last, but they're like, you're going to get charged with a misdemeanor. They're criminalizing people for not taking this damn poison. That's some Nazi Germany stuff right there, man. I would say take me to jail for the 6 months. Look this up, guys. This is out there in Rockland County, New York. It sounds unconstitutional as hell. They're talking about fines of $500 if you're out in public and you don't have that poison-ass MMR shot. That's the last thing you want to give a kid. Don't take them. Scrape that $500 up or go ahead and do that 6 months. You probably do three. I would do the little 6 months or 3 months. I ain't doing that. You don't give your kids them. They're poisoning your kids. That should be a red flag right there. And I was talking about this on Twitter. This is the same government who's telling you that vaccines are safe. This is the same damn government who told you the Tuskegee syphilis experiment was safe. You know? Yeah, we talk about this stuff in Hidden Colors 5, by the way. We're breaking a lot of this down in Hidden Colors 5. My brother RZA, he's in Hidden Colors 5 too. So look, man, these people, they're coming at us from all angles, man. This is why we got to get that paper. We got to get money. We can't afford to be poor and targeted like this as a group. We can't afford this no more, man. These folks are stepping up the genocide. We got to be very serious. We have to allocate our resources in ways that empower us. We got to keep our media going. You know, and when those of us are out here going in, we need to support. You know, I need the family support because we going in and we stay on the next and we stay exposing these people. So we need the community just to support. Big time. And a lot of people are mad because Jussie Smollett, y'all saw they dropped all those charges on Jussie. A lot of folks are mad that white supremacists are livid that they dropped all those charges. They had, first of all, they overcharged them. They charged them with 16 felonies and all this stuff. And then they dropped all of them. And boy, the white supremacists are pissed. Now they're running around talking about black privilege. They're upset, number one, because Jussie got treated like a white person in this case, meaning that white people, they get to make all these bogus charges, bogus calls, bogus reports, and they get off, and then he got off, and now they want to cry foul because he got off. White supremacists do that all the time. White supremacists do that all the time. They make false calls, make false police reports, and nothing happens to them. Now they want to cry foul. And also, these white supremacists are targeting real black people. There was no real person involved in this Jussie case. And these white supremacists are talking about, well, he could have started a race war. There's already a race war the white supremacists have launched already. There's already a race war. But you know what? The reason why they dropped those charges is because y'all remember, I told you guys a long time ago when this case first popped off, there's a lot of other people involved in this. There are other people involved. There's some higher ups involved in this case. So they had to drop this immediately. Some of these higher ups had to start making some calls to drop this thing. Because if Jussie was going down, Jussie was going to start talking. Jussie was going to start talking and telling who else is involved in this thing and how this thing seemed like it might have been orchestrated by some higher ups in the Democratic Party. Jussie, if he was going to be facing some years, Jussie was going to drop some names. So they said, let's drop these charges. They knew Jussie, if Jussie cut a deal, that's why they threw all those charges on him. It was going to force him to cut a deal. If Jussie cut a deal, Jussie was going to do, you thought them Nigerians were telling, Jussie was going to out-tell them Nigerians. Somebody say he was the gay Nino Brown. If I go down, everybody's going down. It was Kareem, the banker. So yeah, Jussie was going to cut a deal and they knew. Because I told y'all, when this whole thing came out and Jussie was like, this was a homophobic racist attack, and then all of a sudden, Cory Booker and all those guys start pushing them laws because of this. Man, that thing was orchestrated like a mug. Man, Jussie was about to start spilling the beans on Cory Booty, Kamami, oh, everybody. And that's why all these white supremacists are mad. They're mad because they see that some black folks in certain positions, you know, they press their weight around a little bit. So these white supremacists are mad. Like, wait a minute. These Negroes are supposed to be tokens. They ain't supposed to really show any kind of power here. So they did a power move by killing a case that would potentially lead up to other folks. So now the Kim Fox, now they're going in on her. See, they thought she was going to be their good little token Negro. They're fine as long as they're getting off these cops for blowing our brains out. As long as you're getting off white folks for blowing our brains out, you're good. But when you do it for a black person who made up a story about a make-believe white Trump supporter. Oh, wait. Oh, that's too much. Oh, you're doing too much. So now, boy, they're trying to pull out all types of new little rule books now. They're talking about finding corporations that hire Jussie in Chicago. They're talking about doing stuff that's completely unconstitutional. What happened with all that? You're supposed to respect the law, respect the verdict. Rahm Emanuel is out there talking about this is a travesty. Rahm, sit your ass down with all the corruption out there with the police killing people and hiding the evidence. Rahm, you really need to sit down. And you got Ed Buck still running around here alive. I don't want to hear nothing from Harvey Levin and all these people talking greasy about this case. And y'all got Ed Buck out here with two dead bodies getting pulled out of his apartment and nothing. I don't want to hear none of that. Don't want to hear none of that. See, this is why black folks, we got to stop allowing them to play the double standard game. We cannot co-sign that double standard game. We cannot be in a society where we co-sign two forms of justice. We got to cut that out. That's why that whole thing, remember we were talking about how black folks should not have co-signed that whole J-Lo thing where she did that Motown tribute. See, that's very dangerous when y'all do that for many, many reasons. That should not have been co-signed. That was them vulturing their way into our culture so that they can decimate it and take control of it. And I kept reminding people, they don't let us do that to genres that they feel like they control now. Because remember I told you guys about the Grammys, how they would not let Beyonce submit her song Daddy Lessons to the country category. They didn't want a black woman like that winning the best country song. That's going to set a precedent. The country singers who are black, they vet these Negroes. They let one in every 50 years. They let like one Negro in every 50 years and they got to be vetted. That's why when you talk about black country artists, the first one you're going to name is Charlie Pride and the other dude from Hootie and the Blowfish. But they vet. It's like one Negro every 40, 50 years with country. So this week, it was a brother named Lil Nas X, and he did a song. It was like a country trap song. He's singing country over a trap beat. So it is a country song, and it debuted very high on the country charts. Do you know Billboard took that off the charts? They said, well, we made a mistake by letting this song get on the country charts because it doesn't really incorporate, and they start white-splaining, it doesn't really incorporate all the elements of a traditional country song. What the hell does that mean? So they're not going to let this, basically, they're not going to let this little Negro infiltrate the country charts. So they did some white-splaining as far as that. So I want to know, because we all know it's all about blackness. They just don't want a black person who hasn't been vetted to pop on those charts like that, because then that's going to have all of us doing country songs and taking over the charts. See, that's why they have these little other side categories for us. You dig? Like in our album, my group Mink Slide, you know, our album, we were on three charts on Billboard. When we got our song released, well, our album released, the Egyptian Musk album, we were on the top of the R&B charts. Then they have the R&B hip-hop charts. And then they have the Heat Seekers charts. And we're on the top of all these charts. And, you know, they got all these little side charts because they don't want you competing with too many of the white artists. They don't like you competing with the white artists too much. So the minute we start getting in those categories with the white artists, oh, wait a minute. Oh, we made a mistake. We made a mistake. So my thing, if what's the traditional elements of country music? Because if we're going to go there, why are we letting people like Post Malone get on the R&B charts? Because Post Malone, what he does, that ain't no damn R&B. If we're going to go there,
and they put Post Malone all on the R&B charts. When our album came out on Google Play and iTunes, we knocked his album out of the top of the charts. Our album was number one on Google. We made a traditional R&B album. That's why a lot of the media, they were real quiet about our album doing as well as it did, especially as an independent record. They want to kind of act like that didn't happen. Yeah, it happened. But yeah, what, Post Malone ain't no damn R&B. If we gonna go there. See, this is why we gotta stop being so kumbaya about a lot of these folks touching stuff that we have. Yeah, and some people in the room are saying we started country music. Absolutely. We started rock, but they don't like black folks to touch rock no more. And we started rock and roll. You dig? So this is why we gotta mark our territories and we have to own our stuff. That's why with the Hidden Colors series and my documentaries, that's something that I specifically hold for us as black society. I make it black as hell. I don't want none of it to cross over. We think in order for something to be successful, white folks gotta touch it and like it and gravitate towards it. And we gotta get off that. There's a reason why the Hidden Colors series, it's the most successful black history documentary series ever. In the white mainstream media, they ignore that. Now, they know who I am because they write negative stories about me almost every day. But one thing they do in those stories, they never mention Hidden Colors. They never like to mention Hidden Colors. They don't like to mention our successes that we did without them. When we are successful without them, they don't like to acknowledge that. If they can't latch on to it and make claim to it and act like they did it, they don't want to even acknowledge it, but that's okay. We know. And we got to keep that thing going, family. That's why everybody click that link right below for Kickstarter for the new movie, Buck Breaking. We're going there. We're going somewhere that has not been gone before. We're going to a dangerous place, but we're in dangerous times, so we can't be scared now. It's too late to be scared. We in it now, so we got to roll. I just need people to have my back and rock with me and support. But we got to start going in and exposing the people that's being insidious and doing things on the low to undermine us and acting like allies. You understand? Because again, somebody in the chat room said it great. When I was writing my Mackin books, that was fun. That was non-threatening, and a lot of white people would buy my books. A lot of my books were successful because many white people were buying the books. So they promote my books all over. It was with a white publisher, a major white publisher, or publishers. I had different publishers. So they had no problem promoting that, and they would write glowingly of me in all the publications, especially all the white-owned black publications. Remember, Ebony and Jet and all that, those are white-owned, and they would write very good articles about me and all of that. I never, never, never had a negative article written about me until 2011. In all my time out here in the forefront, I've never had negative articles written about me. Everything about me was glowing. Hell, I'd even been on Fox News before they were skinning and grinning and giggling when I was on Fox promoting my books. Go look that up. Go look up some of the videos. I never had any negative press. And the minute I did Hidden Colors, all of a sudden, I'm a race baita. I'm this and that. That's when I start getting negative press. Especially from the Shea Butters and all that. Then the Shea Butter Negroes around 2013, that's when they really started attacking. Because I kept doing the films and they kept being successful. They're like, okay, this ain't no one-off. This Negro is just going to keep on doing it. You dig? So this is why we got to keep the momentum going. Now, a lot of people are asking about that Cardi B situation. I know I heard about it, that surviving Cardi B. Where Cardi B, she did a video where she talked about how she used to take dudes up in hotel rooms, drug them, and rob them. I heard that. I heard that, and a lot of people felt a certain way about that. And then I know Cardi, she apologized. And I feel people on that because, see, she works for a major corporation now. She's signed to a major label. That is a major stockholder. That's a major corporation she's working for. And remember, these major corporations, these were a lot of the people funding that whole Bill Cosby lynching. A lot of these major white corporations in the media, these are the people that's funding Time's Up and Me Too and all that. These are the folks behind that. You understand? So the fact that they're funding the label this woman is on, and they're funding all of these movements where they're attacking black men for drugging folks and raping, they got this person on here admitting to raping, not raping, but drugging and robbing dudes. So it is contradictory. It is contradictory. And she's going to have to hold her own nuts on that one. Because she ain't black anyway, right? She's something else. So let her hold her own nuts. She'll be good. A lot of folks are asking about my book, The Art of Mackin'. Y'all can go to Amazon to get my books, The Art of Mackin'. Go to Amazon.com, get The Art of Mackin', get The Elite Way. Get what are my books? The Art of Gold Digging. You get all my books right now on Amazon. Go to Amazon right now to get all my books if you don't have them. The Art of Mackin', huge bestseller, classic book. I'm going to have a 20-year anniversary come out next year. I'm going to update some stuff. I'm glad y'all reminded me. I've been meaning to do that, to do the 20-year anniversary of that book. 20 years, man. That's a long time, man. That book came out in 2000. That book brought in the new millennium. Damn, man, 20 years. Boy, how time has flied. But The Art of Mackin', that's a classic, man. That book is still a huge seller to this very day. But again, you go to Amazon.com to get The Art of Mackin'. The 10-year anniversary version, you get that one. And I'm going to update that one and do the 20-year anniversary version and put that out next year. But anyway, man, let me get out of here. Again, everybody, right now, let me see the Kickstarter. Let me see where we are on Kickstarter right now. All right, we're at 5,230 right now. So we got, 6,000 people in the room right now? No, we got a little under 5,000. Everybody go contribute now. We can get to the 10,000 mark by today, by tonight. And we're going to keep it going. We're going to hit that plateau real soon. And the reason I did the crowdfunding for this one on Kickstarter is because on Indiegogo, whatever money you make on Indiegogo, you don't have to reach the exact goal, but you still get to keep the money. My thing is, I want people to be very serious about this film. And with Kickstarter, you have to meet the goal or everybody gets their money back. And that's what I wanted. I wanted either we gonna do it or we ain't. So that's why I did it on Kickstarter this time. It's all or nothing. I want people to be serious about this, because we're getting into some serious business with this. So I want some riders with me. If I ain't got no riders, everybody get your money back and I just do something else. But I want to see if we got some riders, because this is something that we're going to have to get down on. This is something that a lot of folks are scared to touch. These are people that a lot of folks are scared to expose. So if we're going to go in, we're going to go in for real, you dig? So everybody donate to that, contribute to that, be a part of it. It's going to be up for a month. We got 29 more days. All right? We got 29 more days, fam. So we'll get that. We'll get it. All right, y'all, let me get up out of here, man. Y'all be good. Again, go to the Kickstarter page. Be a part of it. Buck breaking. Coming soon. I'm going to holler.